in Urbana. Starting it over is what we do
at Max Twin City Recycling. In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
When Andy Biggs tells Fox they'll ask Robert Herr about that, questioning the ex-special counsel investigated Biden mishandling of classified documents.
Democrats calling it a political hit job. Republicans insist it raised real questions about the president's cognitive abilities. Today, we do have Herr's opening statement. He's going to tell lawmakers, quote, "We identified evidence that the president willfully retained classified materials after the end of his vice presidency." Now, Herr in the same report said he was not going to charge Biden based off of the investigation, that there wasn't enough evidence. Lawmakers are likely to press her, though, to further examine what he thought of Biden's memory of those documents and his time in the White House prior.
Fox's Mark Meredith at the White House. Lawmakers will also get a classified briefing today on TikTok and the surveillance risks posed by the company's Chinese ownership. Ahead of a vote tomorrow on a bill to ban TikTok unless the social media app separates itself from China. Former President Trump's wary, saying that'll help Facebook, which he calls the true enemy. But Republican Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers tells Fox Business she supports that TikTok ban.
The bill is targeted and specific, focusing on the national security threat. We're not getting into content.
Breaking news out of Israel. A soldier who's also a U.S. citizen is confirmed to be among the 33 dead hostages Hamas is still holding, along with 100 others still alive. People will vote for president in four states today. Contest that could set up the Trump-Biden rematch they could clinch today. America's listening to Fox News.
Federal authorities are now pressuring banks to spy on the transactions of conservatives. Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Paul, and this is yet another reason why you need a physical gold IRA from Birch Gold Group. To learn more, text the word SHELTER to 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs. Secure your IRA or 401k right now. Text SHELTER to 989898 to request your free info kit right now.
Message and data rates may apply.
Paid for by Birch Gold Group.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Again, voting today in four states could end with President Biden and former President Trump clinching nominations. It comes as the Republican National Committee makes a lot of changes.
More than 60 staffers in the RNC's political, communications, and data departments are being let go amid the installation of former President Trump's new leadership team. Some were given the option of reapplying for their jobs, and others were told to leave on Monday. Those who decline to reapply have to leave by the end of the month. The RNC is the GOP's formal political and fundraising arm that helps Republicans win elections up and down the ballot. The Trump campaign now has operational control of the RNC, choosing Michael Whatley as chair, the former president's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, as the co-chair, and Trump campaign senior advisor Chris LaCivita as RNC chief of staff, who called the actions streamlining. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Boeing has more explaining to do after the company's manufacturing failed a bunch of FAA audits. One found mechanics using a hotel key and even dish soap as makeshift tools.
The discovery came as the agency looked into Boeing and Spirit Aerosystems after a door plug flew off of a 737 MAX 9 midair. The New York Times reporting that the audit found Spirit Aerosystems mechanics used the hotel key and dish soap to test compliance. Spirit Aerosystems makes the body of the 737 MAX jets. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
A Boeing whistleblower who raised concerns about the plane maker's production standards and safety has been found dead in Charleston County, South Carolina, from what's being investigated as a suicide. John Burnett worked at Boeing for three decades as a quality control engineer. Again, the inflation report this morning shows a slight tick back up in consumer prices year over year, but on Wall Street, stock futures are rising modestly ahead of today's trading. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
Here's a look at local news. Police have arrested a Decatur man on an attempted murder charge. Donald Burton taken into custody in connection with the incident Friday in an apartment in the 1300 block of North Edward Street, where a male victim was found with an upper body stab wound and then was hospitalized. A doctor with Carle Health wants the community to know about a recent rise in measles. Dr. Robert Healy said there aren't many cases in central Illinois right now, but feels it's important to open the conversation to prevent the disease. Indiana Department of Public Health confirming someone from Northwest Indiana has it. That person went to three different Chicago hospitals while contagious. Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit is operating on a special schedule this week due to the University of Illinois' spring break. Find out more on their website. Additionally, all routes will not have Sunday evening and Sunday late night service. Safe Rides Connect service will only operate until midnight and will not operate for Sunday evening and late night. Once again, for more information, check out their website. You're up to date from the Stevie J Broadcasting Newsroom. I'm Joe Miller.
Yeah, it's a good week for spring break, especially here early on as we check in with our meteorologist, Greg Soulier. Our forecast is brought to you by Carl, working every day to improve the health of the community members across the region. If you're looking for an opportunity to serve others in a supportive environment, visit carl.org/careers. So, Greg, are you with
me? Yes, I am.
Well, tell us about the good news, and then maybe we could talk about how the farmers are feeling about all this.
Yeah, we can certainly do that. But yeah, the shorter term, and we're still a few weeks away from getting full-grown, full-tilt operations out of the Back 40 going. And, of course, the rains from late last week sure helped with some of the drier areas still lurking in all directions outside of Champaign and proper. The wind and the warmth, too, here for the next couple of days helping us. The Western Corn Belt, different story because of dryness and drought there and increased wildfire, grass fire potentials. In any event, here, 42 at Willard and Savoy right now, same at Danville, 43 over at Rantoul. These are not far off, which you'd expect in the afternoon for March 12th, but we'll take it onwards and upwards from there with sun-filled day, stiff south-southwesterly winds above 30 like we had here yesterday afternoon, and temperatures as well closing in on the 70-degree mark. We'll bottom out tonight at 49. We've got a slow approaching frontal boundary that'll stall to the north and west, but moisture begins to pool. There may be a stray shower at some point later this evening, and more likely after midnight tonight. Tomorrow, iffy shower chances early and late, partly sunny, windy, and seasonally mild, once again closing in on 70 on a gusty south wind. Showers and thunderstorms become more numerous tomorrow night. We'll bottom out in the 50s. It's still a mild Thursday at 68. That'll be our best likelihood of a couple of rounds of showers and thunderstorms. Maybe another half, three quarters, maybe an inch of rain in the gauge. A couple of showers linger Friday. It's back in late Saturday into Sunday. And we do have a pattern shift here over late the weekend and early next week as well. 58 on Friday, not bad. Saturday high 57, not too bad either. But then some chillier weather. The high near 50 on Sunday. Maybe a snowflake in the morning and a sprinkle in the afternoon. And Monday, cold with daytime readings into the lower 40s. A quick peek at Palm Sunday and Easter. A little more wintry looking around here, and we'll talk about that here in the days to come. For Steve J. Broadcasting, I'm meteorologist Greg Soulier.
Very happy to welcome our next guest. She was Miss Illinois 2018. She competed in Atlantic City live on ABC television, Atlantic City's famous boardwalk hall, as Miss Illinois in the 2019 Miss America pageant. Then she traveled the state advocating for mental health awareness, reminding every individual that this story has a purpose. Her new book is titled, It's Okay, Finding Peace in Unexpected Places. It's my daughter, Grace Kachaturian.
You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up.
I can still see you, Grace, dancing on the stage, making all your turns to Josh Groban, and the Philadelphia Inquirer putting the crying emoji on their website and on their social media, saying, capturing the emotion of Miss America, Miss Illinois. Anyway, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Great.
How's it feel being a newlywed, Grace?
I know, right? I have to think about it. Every time I'm writing my last name, I'm like, wait, which name am I using right now? Which
exactly.
Audience is this for?
It's Grace Kachaturian Herdebees is what you're going by, right? Grace Kachaturian Herdebees.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes,
and to me,
correct.
When I hear the Josh Groban, I think of the daddy-daughter dance that turned into a big family hug on the dance floor. So touching.
Oh, I know. We I knew I had to incorporate that song on our wedding day somehow, just because it had carried so much meaning to us, like 15 years at that point. So I don't know that my dad knew that that was going to be our like first dance song for my dad and I at my wedding. But
I don't think so either, because as the DJ for 30 years of weddings, I was constantly asking him about the daddy, if you're going to do something special, what are you? And he was like, I don't know. I just do what Janet's telling me right now.
Everything. No, for sure. But I was touched and surprised by it. It was
exactly.
Awesome. So Grace, the book is It's Okay, Finding Peace in Unexpected Places. Tell me about that. Why did you write it? What's it about?
Yes, there was two driving forces to writing this book. One being my faith, two being a quote that I love by Morgan Harper Nichols that you'll find in the book, but it's tell the story of the mountain you've climbed. It could become a page in someone else's survival guide. And I wrote this book with the individuals in mind that might be at rock bottom or might just be in a season where things feel heavy and hard and you're just trying to figure it out. And this is pretty much 30 chapters of stories. It's packed full of stories of unfiltered detail of when life was really good, but when also life was really hard. We talk about Miss America. We talk about meltdowns on the kitchen floor. We talk about learning to scuba dive, being deathly afraid of water. We talk about bird poop patrol. There's such a spectrum of stories that we go through, and we tie it all together in each chapter, how we learn to find the Lord in the midst of everything, that he is in our midst when we're willing and conditioned to seek and find him there and to seek and find the good in every moment.
Well, you go into so many different stories and you share so much. I mean, you really put it out there. I mean, you weren't afraid. Were you hesitant to do that?
Yes. This book took under 3 years, but just around that time frame. But it was mostly because I kept going through it and I kept, writing and tweaking and revising. But this is completely done, by my own eyes and own work. But there was a constant pull of okay, is this too much? In some ways I joke that it feels like a tell-all because of my own story of my own life, of every detail of who I am and how I think what got me to where I am right now. And there's a lot of good to that, but there's also a lot of not so glamorous parts to it that were bumpy. And sometimes when you're writing that and you're going to just send it out into the world, it's like, oh gosh, did I share too much detail here? Mm-hmm. That's my hope though, is I think impact happens when we're willing to let our guard down, and vulnerability invites vulnerability. And I think there's power in that. And the more we're willing to expose the true story of our own lives, I think the more someone could potentially be impacted by it.
I think people may be surprised by somebody like you, so successful, lacking confidence along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
And I think people relate to that because we've all shared those moments where we're not sure. Those steps are hard, and yet you share that saying, hey, that happens to me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and much more than that. I mean, we talk about body image. We talk about breakups. We talk about, there's really, I think especially in a woman's life, there's pretty much nothing we don't cover here. Mm-hmm. And really, it's for, this book, this shares for everyone. You could read this and find something that you probably resonate with, but because I've walked a path of what probably a lot of teenage girls have walked through, or college individuals have walked through, I just share the detail of the hard.
I think
that's the thing that's not talked about.
I want to just read a little of a review. It says, I feel compelled to write a review of Grace Khachaturian's enlightening and spiritual book, It's Okay, Finding Peace in Unexpected Places. It's a wonderful read for young women who are navigating high school, college, and beginning life on their own. So many experiences shared with powerful analogies of how God works through all of our lives to make good of our messes and fulfillment from our experiences. I recommend all you moms purchase this book for a special young woman in your life. And even senior lady me is enjoying realizing past experience I felt distraught about were blessings in disguise. You can buy this book on Amazon. It's Okay, Finding Peace in Unexpected Places. You have to be really moved by moving people.
Honestly, it feels like I can't take credit for it. It feels like, one removed of me. And I've been praying that the Lord would do what only he can with this book, because I know my words are void without his power behind them. And I just sat and wrote this all in between two covers, but the impact and the power it has is nothing just with me. So I feel like I can't take credit for it, but I feel so honored and taken back and honestly, like, just so moved and shocked that someone actually, you know, is taking something away from the words that I put down. I feel very honored by that. So, but that's my hope. My hope is that the Lord moves people with it.
There's a study about teen and mental health, and that's came out this week as well. But remember when you spoke at the high schools as Miss Illinois and the line of girls that wanted to talk to you privately, there are a lot of things out there. I'm sure the phone has exacerbated some of that exposure and pressure for girls to be something that just isn't possible.
Right. I totally think that there's a lot that goes on behind screens that shouldn't. But I think a lot of the times we get so isolated because of our screens, and then it's kind of perfect environment for not great things to happen in our minds. We get too locked up in our own minds, and that's when it can get really dangerous. I mean, 50% of all mental illness begins by the age of 14, so it's urgent that our students, that our teens, that our kids in our household are being looked after, but that the family's getting around the kitchen table on a regular basis with phones down and real conversations happening, because we all have the ability and the responsibility to notice and ask and lean in when people maybe aren't well, and to know that it's okay to not be well and to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's so important, and it comes down to the home, that people are having those real conversations. This is something I really talk about in my book. It's about corner of the dock, and it's noticing the people in the corner of our lives, whether it be the corner of your kitchen table, the classroom, the coffee shop. We all have the ability and the responsibility to notice and act,
you know,
if
what,
we see something that's not quite right.
Once you told the story of the corner of the dock, you know, you tend to kind of see people more that are sitting alone.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, you know, they don't have anything. They don't have anybody. And that's so sad.
Well, and taking those first steps, Grace, that's, you know, takes bravery to reach out to somebody. So I thank you for reaching out to that kid at that, what was it, the Vancouver area or somewhere.
Yeah.
You were at your Young Life camp and helping as a counselor. So thanks for stepping up. And that's what we all need to do if we see someone facing some issues.
Absolutely. And I think when we're in those situations, we might feel that nudge to go talk to someone or just, like, say hi or whatever that is. And I 100%, every fiber in me believes that that nudge is not a coincidence. Mm-hmm. That is something we are meant to be doing. We are placed in that purpose, maybe for the sole purpose that we are to perhaps impact that person or help them. Or maybe the hi is exactly what they need, because you truly never know what's going on in someone else's head or in their story and how much of an impact a simple hi could make.
Somebody said, I knew this would be good. She is so very spiritual. Isn't that nice?
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
Well, the Holy Spirit is good, so.
Well, it's from your whole perspective, it's just looking like, well, God is involved in this, so how does this make sense? And that helps you make sense.
Right. It's a peace in unexpected places. It's that peace that transcends all understanding, that when you're in the thick of it, and all of a sudden, in maybe the worst moment, you have this peace that comes over you, like, at the end of one of the end of the breakup story, it's talking about the story in the Bible where the disciples are on this ship that's kind of in this storm, and Jesus is sleeping in the back, and Jesus just says, "Quiet, be still," and it all comes to perfect peace. And for some reason, right in the thick of the breakup, it's like everything came to perfect peace, like the water stilled, rather than it just starting in the storm. It was all of a sudden like complete peace, like the Lord had said, quiet, be still, over my entire situation in the moment that would least likely to be like that. I found peace in completely unexpected places. But I think that's a condition of the heart and the access that we give to the Holy Spirit to transform maybe not our situations, but us in our situations.
Endorsed by Bob Goff, the best-selling New York Times author, and also Alan Lisa Robertson, also kind words about it's okay finding peace in unexpected places. My daughter, Grace Cacciatore, so proud of you, so excited for you.
Well, and how do we get the book? What do we do? Sign me up.
Well, it's available on Amazon now. You can also reach out to me directly. I, of course, have copies if people have specific requests for signing, or if it's a gift or something like that. But also, we'll have a launch party coming up very soon, so we're really excited about that. If people want the full release details, they can follow me on social media at Grace_Kach, K-H-A-C-H, and there we're going to do a full release of all the excitement. We have lots of events coming up, so I'm very excited to share, but we'll do a full release on there.
And you'll come back and sit in for an hour or so sometime, huh?
Sure. I don't know if people, I think people get bored.
Neil Cavuto, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Not much improvement in inflation last month. The consumer price index rose 0.4% in February as expected. Core inflation, excluding food and energy, also rose 0.4%. On an annual basis, the consumer price index rose 3.2%, stronger than forecast and up from January. Core inflation on an annual basis rose 3.8%, which is an improvement from 3.9% in January, but economists were forecasting inflation retreating to 3.7%. Small business owners say they are still seeing high prices for services. The National Federation of Independent Business Optimism Index declined last month. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Ginny Cosolda, invested in you.
I'm Dana Perino, and this is Perino on Politics.
Dana Perino, co-host of The Five and co-anchor of America's Newsroom, returns to Fox News Audio with a brand new podcast, Perino on Politics. Listeners of Everything Will Be Okay will be thrilled by the return of a familiar voice, but with a fresh spin as Dana guides audiences through the 2024 election cycle. Make sure you subscribe to this series wherever you download podcasts and leave a rating and review.
Logan, everyone, let's check weather for East Central Illinois. Champaign event of Saturday, the spring-like feel continuing on for the next two or three. Changes ahead with the cool-off for the front part of the weekend. Colder weather, would you believe, for early next week. Back to more seasonal levels. Up near 70 today, another unseasonably mild day's worth of weather with sunshine and a stiff south-southwesterly wind. A couple of showers breaking out tonight, more so after midnight, low near 50. Tomorrow, partly sunny, windy, and seasonably mild, up to about 69 to 70, with again a shower thunderstorm in spots, spotty best early and late. Showers, thunderstorms, and the increase later tomorrow night and into Thursday, but dry periods as well. 55 tomorrow night, the high about 68 on Thursday. A couple of showers around early, more so late in the day on Friday with a high near 58. A little more rain late Saturday, 57. Maybe a snow shower to the north here Sunday morning and a sprinkle in the afternoon, the high near 50. Rolling the 40s for high temperatures. Nights falling back into the 20s for Monday and Tuesday of next week. For Steve AJ Broadcasting, I'm meteorologist Greg Solier.
Are you ready? A free trip to the most lavish resort out of this world. The most spectacular landscapes and majestic views ever imagined. Where all human pains, afflictions, worries, concerns, they'll all be gone for eternity. You're right, it will be heaven. Well, it is very simple. Start your journey today. The Lord opens His welcoming arms to greet you. And this week, visit His house. Attend church services of your choice. We have found the Lord at Muhammad Christian Church. Listen to the words. Jesus will guide you as to where you need to be. And for our friends in nursing homes or assisted living, please attend your weekly prayer services. It is that simple. Start your journey today. The Lord will put His arm around you and give you comfort. Take away all your problems, anxieties, and pains for eternity. Are you ready? The Lord has been expecting you.
Are you tired of shivering in the winter? Look no further than your local heroes at ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. Hi, this is Gina inviting you to give us a call at 217-352-5400 to book your appointment to make sure your furnaces run safely and efficiently this winter. We've been proudly locally owned and operated and have been serving our community for over 50 years. ABC, always be comfortable. Call me, 217-352-5400 to book your appointment today or go to abcheatingandac.com.
Tavis Towing reminds all Illini fans, when you're on the road and see lights flashing, move over and use caution passing. Let's all get home safe tonight.
Thursdays we do Did You Know with my son Nathaniel. I call him Nathaniel's son just to make sure you know who he is. He's in Chicago. Nathaniel's son, how are you?
Oh, I'm well, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Happy Easter to you.
Mm-hmm.
Happy early Easter. And funny you should mention that, Dad, because that is the subject of our discussion this morning.
Awesome. And by the way, I never know what he's going to say. I have no idea.
Okay.
He's in full control of content.
I know, and that really worked to my benefit last week. So,
all right.
For this week, we're going to talk a little history and facts of Easter. We won't get too far into the week because there's a lot on this topic. But one thing that is probably noticeable to most people is the date of Easter never seems to be the same. It's always sometime, you know, late March, early April, and the reason for this is, after a little research, is because in 325 AD, the Nicene Council met. This was a council that of early Christian believers. They determined that Easter was to be celebrated after the first full moon following the spring equinox. So what does that mean? So the spring equinox is when it officially changes from winter to spring. And then, depending on where the lunar calendar lines up with that, Easter is celebrated the Sunday after the full moon after that. So that's why it changes so much, because not the lunar calendar and the our calendar of dates doesn't always line up. The equinox is always the same, but the full moon is not.
Well, we just had a full moon last night, so it was called the pink moon. It was pretty cool.
But this is the transition season. Back in the, you know, so this happens in February or something, right? Or is it the, no, it's the first
full moon after spring equinox.
Yeah, so the spring equinox is technically the first day of the spring. That's always March 21st, or maybe on a leap year, it's different. But then for a full moon after that, it's the Sunday following the full moon after the equinox. So it's always after March 21st, and usually within the next 4 weeks, because that's the longest lunar cycle.
But they set it, like, we already know 2024 when Easter is. They can set it, just...
Correct,
All right.
Yeah, but I think that's based on predictions of the lunar calendar.
Good. So, this is 325, you said, though. This is 325 is a long time ago.
Right.
Right, yeah. So, almost... 1,800 years ago, 1,700 years ago. Additionally, an interesting fact, where did Easter eggs come from? How did that become a tradition? Well, that's because in the 13th century, during the fasting of Lent, the church, actually during Holy Week, which is the week right before Easter, the church said you can't have eggs. I'm not sure why they said that, but eggs were prohibited. Now, in the 13th century, you might think, okay, there weren't many grocery stores, so people still relied on food from livestock. And chickens still lay eggs during Holy Week.
Right.
So people had to find something to do with the eggs, so they got labeled as Holy Week eggs.
I'll be darned.
People started decorating the eggs, and that's how we get the tradition of decorating Easter eggs.
So when they had an Easter egg hunt, what'd they do with it? Because they didn't probably know how to hard-boil them, right? So,
you know, I read a little on that. That was pretty interesting. It looked like that started as some kind of more of a competition rather than finding eggs that are plastic with stuff in them.
Yeah, and probably no Easter bunnies and chocolate and stuff. Interesting. Yep. Nathaniel's son, well done. Well done.
Yeah.
Good information.
Hopefully it helps us be more informed for celebrating this weekend and also knowing when it's going to happen in the future.
Appreciate you, bud. Good work. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
We will. Can't wait. Nathaniel's son in Chicago. He and his lovely bride, Allison, are spending Easter with
us. Sounds good.
Excited.
And a lot of this content from Did You Know coming up during our dinner conversation. So
yeah, it's just interesting, all based on the equinox and the moon, and I don't think I knew that,
and the Easter eggs going without.
During challenging times, family and health come first. This is Eric Boland with Provident Financial Group. Many of us have spent the past year feeling a little bit out of control. There are steps you can take to help plan for a better financial future. Now's the time to take action and create a financial plan that's right for you. Contact us today at 217-366-3456 or find us online at providentfinancialgroupllc.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at pdrauto.com. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
We're talking to Nate Evans of the Nate Evans Group, and we're talking about the current market. What about interest rates? What are you guys seeing on what these numbers are going to do?
Interest rates are a hot topic right now. Interest rates are all over the place. I think they feel super high at the moment. And maybe historically, we keep getting told and it's shoved down our throats that it's not. But I think to the real person, we've been used to 5%, maybe even as high as 6, but maybe a lot of 4s over the last 10 or 15 years. So that's our normal. The Fed announced that they aren't going to raise.
I'm Neil Cavuto.
And that they'd probably at least do 3 reductions over the year 2024. If we can find some 5s, I think there's some calmness to the storm finally.
So call the only agent I would call if I needed to sell my home. It's Nate Evans with eXp Realty, 217-239-7113, or do an online search to Nate Evans Group to start packing.
Sell your home with Nate. Pick the price, pick the day. Go to the
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Inflation's ticked up a bit. Consumer prices up 0.4% last month, up 3.2% over the last year.
Energy jumping 2.3% month to month. Gasoline up 3.8% month to month. Housing 0.4%.
Chuck Sony with Fox Business. Transcripts are released of former President Biden's interview with a special counsel investigating his mishandling of classified documents. And there's a House Judiciary Committee hearing about it this morning.
Republicans are expected to grill former special counsel Robert Hur about what he learned of President Biden's age, his abilities, and his memory. Hur's report, which came out a month ago, had generated considerable pushback from the White House after the White House claimed that Hur was operating as a political instigator as opposed to an investigator.
Fox's Mark Meredith. Hur says he stands by his assessment as accurate and fair. The president in his interview says repeatedly he never meant to retain classified documents. America's listening to Fox News.
Here's a look at local news. Two candidates will seek the Republican nomination in the 13th Congressional District. Representatives Thomas Clatterbuck and Joshua Lloyd looking to face incumbent Democratic Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski in November. Clatterbuck's constituency in the Champaign area, while Lloyd represents Verdon. The district leans Democratic and covers much of the metro east of Springfield plus Urbana-Champaign. Public meetings set to take place to review the Champaign Postal Service processing plant tonight. Postal Service doing a review of the processing and distribution center of the city's northwest side. They're considering transferring some assigned operations to other offices, which include simplifying process as well as standardized layouts. Investigators looking into a series of trailer fires in Rantoul the past month. They said 3 people may be involved in setting the fires and are asking for help through Crime Stoppers to identify the suspects. Rantoul Police and Office of the State Fire Marshal have been investigating 3 fires on Mahoning Lane. You're up to date from the DBJ Broadcasting Newsroom. I'm Jim Miller.
Logan, everyone, let's check weather. Free Central at all in Champaign and Vanavis Saturday. The spring-like feel continuing on for the next 2 or 3. Changes ahead with the cool-off for the front part of the weekend. Colder weather, would you believe, for early next week. Back to more seasonal levels. Up near 70 today. Another unseasonably mild day's worth of weather with sunshine and a stiff south-southwesterly wind. A couple of showers breaking out tonight. More so after midnight. Low near 50. Tomorrow, partly sunny, windy, and unseasonably mild. Up to about 69 to 70 with, again, a shower thunderstorm in spots. Best early and late. Showers, thunderstorms, and the increase later tomorrow night and into Thursday, but dry periods as well. 55 tomorrow night, the high about 68 on Thursday. A couple of showers around early, more so late in the day on Friday with a high near 58. A little more rain late Saturday, 57. Maybe a snow shower to the north here Sunday morning and a sprinkle in the afternoon, the high near 50. Rolling the 40s for high temperatures. Nice falling back into the 20s for Monday and Tuesday of next week. For Steve AJ Broadcasting, I'm meteorologist Greg Solgay.
Mike Ditka, he's in Chicago. Coach, how are you?
I'm good. Good. Everything's great.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to the Desire Street Ministries golf outing in Florida. Johnny, it looks like you're going to have to carry the ball club.
Well, I think I've got you guys covered. I've been thinking about it. You know, we talked about visualization and Jim Thorpe, and I've got it, Steve.
Coach, Johnny's bringing Calamity Jane. That's all we need. His Bobby Jones putter. I think that's it. All comes down to putting in this game anyway.
Yeah, well, I have a visualization too, but I think it's going to be a lot of people laughing at me. But that's okay.
You know what, Johnny? Hey, Coach, let me just tell you a quick golf story. We were playing in the Fellowship of Christian Athletes golf outing, and we were playing a scramble. And Johnny teed off, and it went 20 yards left into a bush, okay? So, you know, everybody else tees off. Then Johnny and I get in the cart to go get Johnny's ball, and behind the bush were 4 men looking at us picking it up 20 yards from the tee. And Johnny's quick reaction was, "That's okay, Steve. Better luck next time." And it was he's the guy that hit it, Mike.
I was just kidding.
I mean, come on. I didn't hit that shot. I mean,
listen, I may go out and hit some balls today just to warm up for you guys.
Well, I probably should do the same thing, but Johnny's got me sold on the visualization.
At this point, I think we let the force be with us.
Yeah, might not be able to do much. All right, we want to start this program with what I think is an enormously compelling video that appeared on YouTube of four African-American gentlemen in Chicago that are really upset about what's happened in their life when it comes to representation and how they've been represented or not represented. And they're speaking out about it. And it's so compelling, so riveting. I wanted to play the whole darn thing. It's 4 minutes long, but I wanted you guys to hear it. And then I want to talk about it. Here you go, rebelpundit.com. There were 2,000 views when I saw it 2 days ago. There are now nearly 700,000 views on YouTube for this video.
Black folks is in an abusive black leadership relationship.
We have to send a message. This is the time for us to send a message.
We always talking about what the Republicans ain't done for us or what they will do to hurt us. My life has been hurt by Democrats.
And we got in our mind that we always got to keep vote Democrat. You know, look and see in your community, who are the real oppressors in our community? Everywhere you go, there's poverty in black areas.
This lot where I stand at right now, Ida B. Wells, where public housing residents should live at. Most of the people are homeless living in the street. And it's because of you, Mr. President.
In Detroit, where your leaders at? There's no white folks running Detroit, cutting water on black folks in Detroit. Them black folks running that city. Ain't no white folks doing that. Them black folks going along with that. Everything's happening in our community is black leadership doing this.
Our children know that if the Democrats have not done anything for us as of yet, why should they even go out and vote? What agenda is on the table that's going to change their life?
The only thing they're offering the black community is abortion on demand. This is what the president asking for us to vote for.
Now he wants to have this conversation about minimum wage raise because he knows that this is the way to get a lot of the poor people's attention. But to hell with his minimum wage raise. We don't have any jobs. A minimum wage raise for what?
They're not pushing a black agenda. They're not pushing a family agenda. They're pushing a neoliberal agenda.
Across this city in these major Democratic cities, this is what it looks like.
How can the same process happen over and over again and nobody got nothing, can't do nothing about it? Black leadership is abusing us. The Democratic Party is abusing us. It's the same way in every black community across the country.
And they force us into a life of welfare. We don't want no welfare. We want opportunities to go to work. We want opportunities to own business. They bailed out all of the major banks and these big investors, but left the people starving.
There are no tea parties in your city.
We don't have those people. We have a major Democratic machine, and the majority of them, they look like me. These are the people who make sure we get nothing, but then turn around and have us to vote for them again.
They only come around when it's time for elections. When they think they can give you a toy or give you a turkey or something, and everything is good.
Hundreds of millions of dollars are coming down from the federal government, but the money is going to all these special interest groups. My brother's keeper went to his friends. This whole corrupt democratic system that gobbles up all the dollars and starves the people out. Can you all look around your community and see any change that have come about with these hundreds of billions of dollars that have come through our cities? No, you cannot. What we do see is our elected officials riding around in new cars and they have new homes.
When our people don't have jobs in our communities, when we don't have any vital resources, when all the deals been cut and all our people are left out, this is where we end up. And we got the most important thing that we got that we can stop all this. Everybody got a vote. And if you use your vote wisely, you can stop a lot of this stuff.
RebelPundit.com, a compelling, riveting, honest. Is it a tipping point at all? Johnny, what's your take on all this?
Well, I think that's extremely interesting because
I've thought, of course, in living in New Orleans, have seen exactly what these guys are talking about. Danny Warfel has been working Desire Street in areas where the result of policy of decades of kind of entitlement that doesn't work, and that the people getting it, Mike, a lot of times don't even want it. And one reason it stays the same, Steve, is because they're voting Democrat, as those fellows pointed out, and that's a 95% block of votes that right now is the epicenter of Democratic power. Without that, they wouldn't have a whole lot of stroke, and they wouldn't win a whole lot of elections, Mike, throughout this country without that 90-95% vote. And these guys have figured out that they're not only not getting anything for it, but the incentive is to leave everything just like it is. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's so true. I mean, there are a lot of people, no matter what their color is, who seem to enjoy entitlement, but there are many, many more who just want an opportunity, and that opportunity is to work and be able to make a living for their family. And I think that's the thing we got to keep in. You know, we say, well, because you're a color, this color, that color, you're prejudiced against. I don't believe all that stuff. I really don't.
No, they said, we don't want welfare. We want opportunities. We want to work.
Hey, that's what it is. Yeah, opportunity.
And we, you got to be fair, because 20 years ago, I was running for a race in Louisiana, and what I saw was a complete lack of interest on the part of the Republicans to take that message so those guys can build a base in their communities about an alternative. Complete disregard, what complete capitulation of that vote by the Republicans, which is the only way the Democrats could have taken advantage. So it's a two-way street and a two-sided coin, and I see that changing a little, Steve. I see the Republicans realizing, you know, we have to go tell them what our message is. And the Democrats, and especially those folks in some of these areas, are ready to hear it and ready to help build some representation.
Do you think, guys, that at some point the country will reach a tipping point? I mean, I'm not satisfied with either party. I think a lot of people are not. Will there ever be a chance to say, listen, enough of this bad system that you guys are all getting rich on, represent the people, do what's right for America, and stop all of this?
It's going to be hard right now because the people that we have representing us in the Senate and the House and the White House are... I don't know. You know, I think people go there with the right intent, but once they get there, they don't do a damn thing. They just jump on board, and they go with the status quo or whatever their party tells them to do, they do. And I disagree with that. I think sometimes you have to stand up. You're going to take some shots, but even if you're Republican, you got to stand up and say, hey, this stuff is wrong. Let's get rid of this stuff. Let's stop.
Hey, I'll tell you too, Stevie, what the Republicans and the Democrats, what I've seen when we have a very good man in office, they tend to throw up their arms and quit and walk away. Like you have an Evan Bay and you have a Meacham in Virginia, and they're like, I can't do anything here. And both sides of the aisle, when you get a really good man, so that leaves a few good men standing, and a lot of people kind of looks like they're out for themselves. And you can't attract anybody because you can't hardly get in. Because it's kind of a career, I wouldn't say a rigged game, but it's a career choice. And so the idea of representation then going back and living it is kind of a theory that hasn't been implemented. No. And that's why I've always pushed term limits as at least a step in the right direction.
Right.
And you'll have just as much chaos, but it won't be as corrupt, I don't think. And I think most people then will be looking out for America instead of themselves.
Well, you know what? There was a term limit measure that they got signatures for, and those in power in Illinois said, now those are fake. And they threw it out. They just threw it out.
Well, yeah. That's typical of the states that when you don't have a petition state that can force an issue on the ballot like California, then it's very difficult to get the guys to vote themselves out. We actually did it here in Louisiana, and I think it's been a huge improvement for this state. We're moving from the bottom five to the top five in about 50 categories.
Yeah.
And that was in 2008. It was over. You can go two terms in a row, Mike, and that's it.
Well, and it was Johnny that really instigated that push, but it was in the 90s, and it's taken a while to implement. And look what's happened. You guys amazingly have a better state than Illinois, and Louisiana was always the laughing stock.
I got to tell you, Mike, the legislature actually voted term limits on themselves, but and some of them have been there 30 years, but when they voted for it, they gave themselves another 12 years to wind down.
Well, that's not surprising. It's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka. It's ESPN 93.5 and Sunny 95.3. And lastly, about that clip I just played of the African-Americans, talk about compelling and passionate. Boy, they had it, didn't they, Johnny?
Well, they sure did, and they were smart guys. You know, Mike, those were pretty good insights, really, because no one else is explaining the two options that are available in the philosophy of opportunity and a chance to create your own destiny, which is kind of the Republican side, and then the Democrats. And you'd argue there's a lot of Democrats that would say we give opportunity, too, but there's a lot of entitlement and programs that kind of tend to mire people down. And those are the two arguments. And of course, these guys figured this out on their own. And I think that's amazing. And 700,000 viewers is amazing.
Yeah.
That people are picking up on that.
Not enough. They need a lot more than that. But well, that's pretty good.
I sure haven't seen it on CBS, ABC, NBC.
Oh, no, you're not going to see that. No, come on.
Not going to see it there. And then other news that I think is really big news potentially for the Chicago Cubs. Joe Maddon is certainly one of the best managers in baseball. He exercised his option, left Tampa Bay, and is supposed to be the new Cub manager. Joe Maddon is the real deal. Uh-oh, here come the Cubbies, Mike.
Now we go.
Stop it, guys. I haven't seen Mr. Maddon
Relay Zero,
in the field yet.
FN Local, Drop Network, Relay
well,
3.
It's
well, that
FN
was
Net.
What got me,
Start
Coach, where they were talking about. It's amazing. The Royals haven't won since 1984. I'm like, well that's pretty recent.
That's not so bad.
I mean,
1908.
1908. You think you'd get lucky once?
I think, you know, at that point, you know, somewhere in the organization, you got to look at your blueprint and say, wow, we're doing something wrong here, guys. What is it? Let's figure this out. We got some wrong people in the wrong places.
I think Theodore Roosevelt was president. That's a rough rider.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
Come on, man. It's unbelievable.
Oh, boy.
All right,
We're coming.
Well, all right. So golf in Florida. Now here's the big decision. As just a member of your ball club, Johnny, here's what I need to ask you. Do I stay with the Jim Thorpe visualization, or do I go hit balls today, or do I waste the shots?
No, you, Mike, might want to you just stay at the visualization, Steve. You're gonna get hurt. You're all right. Think about it. Think.
But you know, here's the main thing. Do you really care? We're going to have fun, and we're going to hit the ball, we're going to laugh, and that's about it.
Yeah, okay, all right. So that's right. And if Johnny brings Calamity Jane, the putter, we're good.
Yeah. Well, we'll try it.
We're
you
good.
Know, we have our moments. But,
hey, listen, you played Augusta with that putter, and didn't everything, almost everything go in?
It was really kind of eerie. But yeah, I just...
Now, Mike, he shot a 39 on the front at Augusta.
Well, wow, that's really good. That's unbelievable, actually.
That's unbelievable.
Well, he said his Bobby Jones putter, Calamity Jane, everything was going in. I mean,
well, I think maybe it came from a root of a tree out there.
Absolutely.
Well, it'll be a pleasure being with you guys and helping Danny Warfel's ministry, Desire Street Ministries. It is the Desire Cup. We're not favored to win it, but who knows?
No, I think there's all kinds of things that happen in sports.
Things that won't happen,
Coach,
I believe.
Are you bringing a cigar for Johnny? That's the question.
Oh, yeah. If I remember, I'll put a box in my bag.
All right. Early wheels up, 5 a.m. We'll be there, Coach, and we'll look forward to hanging with you tomorrow. Johnny, always a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you,
Steve.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, ESPN 93.5.
Kind of doing a best of show today. I'm Diane Ducey. 8:49, a best of interview from our athletic director, Josh Whitman, from May of 2022 now.
We are very happy to welcome the athletic director of the University of Illinois. His name is Josh Whitman. Well, I'm looking at your report card, son. You're doing well, my friend.
Yeah.
Good morning, Stevie. How are you?
I'm fine. I'd like to officially offer you your dream job. You are now going to be sales manager for Stevie J Broadcasting.
Yes!
I'm so excited. I'm so happy.
Congratulations. Welcome aboard.
I mean, come on, man. Shauna Green's going to the NCAA women's tournaments, and she's winning 900 games, and you got her to come to Illinois, which has not been very good for women's basketball. You're really good at this, Josh.
Well, we've got a great team, Stevie. We've got a great team here, and we got a great university, and we got a great community. And so I can't take any of the credit for any of those things, and it's just it's a wonderful place to be, as you well know, and have a lot of pride in being able to represent this entire community and this athletic program every day.
Spring game tonight. I realize Stevie J has zero credibility when I think we're going to play Nick Saban every year, so I have no credibility, but I think we're going to a bowl game from now on.
Yeah.
I think Brett Bielema knows what he's doing. I think it was an amazing hire. I think he's really, really good at this. Obviously, you're rooting for all this to happen. What are you seeing that encourages you about Illinois football?
It does. It starts at the top with Brett and his vision. I'm beyond impressed with the staff that he's assembled, the vision that he's brought to the program. I'm really been taken with two things in particular about him. Number one is his work ethic. I've been around football my whole life, and I've never seen anybody work the way that he does, especially in the head coaching chair. And then number two is just his ability to connect and teach the student athletes on the team. I saw that from the very first team meeting when we introduced him to the group, and from the first spring practice a year ago, it was evident that he has a level of detail and not only an ability to understand it himself, but to convey it and get his players to understand it. And that's half the battle. And so it's really been a pleasure to work with him. And I share certainly your optimism for the future of the football program and looking forward to tonight and using it as a springboard into the fall.
Yeah, but why hasn't Illinois been able to do, like, every year we win six? No coach has ever done that, Josh. I don't get it.
Well, I think that's the trick now. Is Brett and I, from our very first conversation, have talked about sustained success, and we are a little bit unique in the sense that we have demonstrated multiple times that we can get to the top of the mountain in a variety of ways. We've been to BCS bowl games, we've been to the Sugar Bowl, we've won the Big Ten, we've been to the Rose Bowl, all in the last 20 years. But we have these kind of roller coaster rides where we take some pretty sharp dips down, and we need to be sure that as we build this one, that the foundation is solid and that we're able to sustain that level of success as we go forward. And that's certainly been a focus for Brad and for me as we've worked through this together and been very intentional in the plan that we put together.
I was happy for Kofi, but I was sad for me. Because Josh, that was the end of an era. That was special. That was fun.
It was a lot of fun. And Kofi's a remarkable young man, and we will always treasure him and the time that he spent with us. And obviously, between him and Io and so many others who had a hand in what's happened here the last 3 years. But he's been just an incredible ambassador for Illinois basketball. He's helped reestablish our program as a national brand, and I think that as we here at some point soon raise that jersey into the rafters, it'll give our fans a chance to properly acknowledge him and thank him for all of his hard work and the things that he has done to really put Illinois basketball back on the map. And that's something that we'll always remember from him. And on a personal level, he's just I have such tremendous affection for him, and we've shared some really powerful moments and just couldn't be prouder of him and looking forward to what this next chapter for him looks like.
Josh Whitman on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. So how do you deal with transfer portal? What's your involvement? It's a swinging gate, man. How do we even know who's on my team next year?
It's a challenge. There's no question. And I think that at the end of the day, you try and create compelling opportunities for young men and women to come here and change their lives through participation in sport, through a world-class education, but you also understand that in today's day and age, sometimes people aren't going to feel like this is the best fit for them. They're going to look elsewhere, and it works both ways. We have a chance as they leave to look for some other people to come in and fill those same seats. And it creates a new dynamic. There's no question about it. And I'll be curious to see over the next several years if it continues to stay this way for two reasons. One, I think right now it's kind of a shiny new toy. And I think there's a lot of appeal amongst our student athletes to try the transfer portal out. But I think over time it'll start to normalize a bit. I think people will realize that the transfer portal maybe isn't the panacea that they've made it out to be. Mm. And then secondly, I think the NCAA or our governing bodies will potentially get involved at some point and try and moderate it in some way. I think that the player movement and flexibility is a positive thing. But I do think that it certainly has created a tremendous amount of instability in our system. And I think sometimes we're not fulfilling our role as educators in terms of teaching student athletes how to confront adversity, how to work through difficult situations. And there are situations where a transfer is appropriate and best maybe for all parties involved. But I think we can do a better job of helping them understand when those moments come and championing them when it's appropriate for them to find a new home.
This whole NIL thing, I mean, Josh, you and I could have made bank on that in 1999. You were a great tight end. Come on, man.
There you go.
I mean, the changes with the NIL and all of that, to me, it feels like free agency. It's, you know, you have all these things, you got to do X, Y, Z and all that stuff and start this thing. And as an athletic director, what do you tell people when they come up to you inevitably and says, how much do we have to keep Kofi? I mean, that's just bar talk. But how do you answer it officially?
I think officially name, image, likeness is probably overdue. You know, I think the opportunity for any person to commercially benefit from the use of their celebrity is a reasonable thing. It's something that happens for a lot of us, happens for you, it happens for me. And so for us to open that gate and allow our student athletes to do something similar makes a lot of sense. I think that there have been some unintended, but in some corners, at least anticipated consequences to it. It's a little bit like the transfer portal. I think that the theory of it is good. I think that in many cases, the application of it is good. I think that there are some exceptions where the theory and the application get a little messy, and we need to continue to try and find ways to clean that up. I do think that there needs to be some level of national standard. I think that whether that comes through a governing body like the NCAA or whether that comes through the federal government, I don't know. I think that, but right now what we have is pretty untenable. Just knowing that all the different state laws that are in place, all the different institutional policies, the different approaches that various conferences are taking, it's created a really difficult environment for all the athletic programs. And so I'm hopeful that, like anything else, it's new, and as is the transfer portal. And I think that we're working through that evolution. We're learning and testing some of the boundaries. We're understanding kind of where this will ultimately fit in the landscape of college sports. And, you know, a lot of the things that you brought up are things that we spend all day, every day thinking about. It's really an unprecedented time in college athletics. There are just so many macro level changes to the landscape that are all coming to bear at the same moment. And so it's created what feels like a very unstable situation. In some ways it is unstable, mm-hmm. but I think that, you know, people can take confidence in the fact that, number one, college athletics will continue to be an important part of our community, our society for generations to come. And number two, it may look a little bit different, but we'll work through some of those changes here. We've got great people, smart people, working on these issues, trying to reimagine what this next sort of college athletics 2.0 is going to look like, and we'll have to accept some of those changes and learn how to incorporate those into our fandom and into our passion. But at the end of the day, college athletics and the opportunity to provide education to 18 to 22 year old young men and women through sport is something that's here to stay and won't ever go away.
We've been listening to an interview from 2022 with our athletic director, Josh Whitman, here on ESPN 93.5.
Stevie J here. With Nate Evans of eXp Realty, you'll always get a stress-free sale for the most money.
Sell your home with Nate. Pick the price, pick the day. Go to the NateEvansGroup.com.
Illini football star Isaiah Williams on why he lives at Pacifica on Green in Champaign.
Everything is literally luxury, and the price that you get in this stuff for it.